Lyle of Sailsport Talk. I'm with Leah Jones to talk about the music video of her song, Under Sail, which was shot on my boat Sandpiper on the San Francisco Bay.
Well, the song that you recorded was beautiful. You composed that song. Can you tell us a little bit about the inspiration?
Well, the inspiration comes from absolute devastation of losing one of my best friends, Captain Robert McCreary. There's a nice dedication for him at the very end of the video that we shot on your boat. But Captain Bob, or I called him Bobby, was one of my best friends, and we've known each other since college, and we spent more time on the bay than we did on land. And when he passed away in 2018, I wanted to write a song that would matter to his friends and family, and we had his memorial on Angel Island, and I got to sing that for the first time a couple years ago.
Here is Jeff DeCira, the vocalist and guitarist.
Jeff, tell us what that experience was like for you, sailing and singing and putting that all together.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was definitely, it was a lot of fun, you know, putting the song together and then planning the video shoot. It was just a beautiful day on the bay. It was just such a wonderful experience. Dan, the filmmaker, was very professional. He got some great footage of the trip out. We even captured some drone footage.
Thanks, Jeff. Here is Dan Folds, the videographer.
Tell us a little bit about the experience of filming on the boat.
The experience out filming on the boat was interesting. It's definitely a challenging environment, being such a small space. And if you're focused too much on the camera and take a wrong step, you could end up in the water. So it's definitely a different environment that I'm used to working in. But the challenge was fun, and we captured, I think, a lot of good imagery that kind of encapsulated the story of Captain Robert and of Leah's song, of the music-making process, too.
Thanks, Dan. Here is the saxophone player, Mark Costanzo.
Now, you didn't actually get to come sailing with us, but where did the video take place of your saxophone? Because it was overlaid into the video, and it was just lovely. I loved the visuals on that.
Yeah, thank you. Well, there's a park. I think it's called Cesar Chavez Park, right at the Berkeley Marina. So that's where we decided to meet. That's where they met, actually, to go on the boat as well. But we met, and from there, we did a lot of video, and it was really nice because we're right on the berm, right at the rock wall of the bay. So really good shots of boats and the rest of the bay behind us. It was a perfect spot, and it was a gorgeous day.
See Leah Jones' video on SailsportTalk.com. That's SailsportTalk.com.
Oh, if it's Tuesday, it must be Belgium, and it also must be Christopher Cross and our SailsportTalk.com segment. We have our friend, the America's Cup expert, Christopher Kane, in studio, and we'll get to him in a second. Karen Lyle, my normal co-host, what's going on? You're saying hi and bye, Karen?
Well, you know, last week I got a chance to talk to you about America's Cup, and Christopher was left out. So this time I thought I would turn it to the two of you because he has some things to say. There's a lot happening.
And you're hanging up, or you're with us?
Oh, I'm gonna be listening to you, but I'm gonna hang up and let the two of you take it because he's in studio.
All right, I'll do as I am told. That was Karen Lyle, and it is now just me and Christopher Kane in studio. So, Christopher, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, I heard in light of the government's level 3 lockdown, which just came in the last couple days, and so they've pushed some races back, and they've temporarily closed the America's Cup Village. What's going on down there in Auckland, New Zealand?
Welcome to New Zealand, where they take this seriously. Family got COVID, they shut the whole place down. But the happiest people in New Zealand about this are probably the British, who are just getting stomped by the Italians right now.
Give us a little update on how we're looking so far with those two teams. Obviously, people who missed it, the Americans are officially out, and it's down to the UK and the Italian teams to see who will race the holders, the New Zealand team.
Exactly. Yeah, it was, I think one of there were some interesting things this weekend. First off, for two boats whose designs are really quite different in their design philosophies, it turns out these two boats are actually pretty closely matched. So it comes down to tactics. It comes down to strategy on the water. And what we saw Saturday from the Italian boat from Francesco Bruni and Jimmy Spithill, who were the leaders on that boat, was really a masterclass in competitive sailing on how you control another boat around the race course. And unlike other sports, you know, you're trying to make your boat go as fast as possible. That's pretty easy to understand. And you're trying to put yourself in the best position against the other boat. That's pretty easy to understand. But the third factor that is unique to sailing is you also have to figure out what's going on with the wind and the course, and maybe the wind is going to trump those other two things. It'd be if you're stepping up to the plate at Oracle Park for your second at bat, and you look into left field, and now the Green Monster is in left field. So now you got to change your at bat. The next time you come up, the Green Monster is gone, but now Triple Zally has disappeared. Every time you come up to the plate, the field has changed, the geometry has changed, and that's sailing. Every time the wind changes, every time it moves, every time it grows or dies, that changes your playing field. And what the Italians really excelled at was, you know, in micro moments, deciding is the wind in the course more important right now, or is staying on top of our competitor more important? And they juggled that across those two courses almost to perfection. I mean, the America's Cup should take those two races, make a video, and sell it to every sailing school in the world, because it was a masterclass in tactics.
I guess with that baseball analogy, you could say the mast is Pesky's pole, right?
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, in match racing, and again, to explain it, in most sailing regattas, there's lots of boats out there. If you go grab a ride from the St. Francis Yacht Club and get on a boat on a Saturday, there's going to be dozens of boats out on the water. And in the America's Cup, it's a match race. There's only two boats. So not surprisingly, if you're in the lead, your number one responsibility is to stay between that boat and the next mark. As long as you're in front, it doesn't matter if you're 2 feet in front or 2,000 feet in front, you're still going to win. But sometimes the wind becomes so much of an advantage that gives you such a leverage that you actually ignore the other boat. And that happened in the second race where during one leg, the Italians were very dutiful in matching every turn the British boat did and staying between them and basically being a nuisance. But the next time they went down the exact same leg, the winds had changed. And the winds had shifted and made it easier for them to sail pretty much directly at the next mark. So they ignored the British boat, let them wander off, and their velocity made good. Their gain they were making on that mark was so high that they wound up getting a huge advantage. But that's tough because as a skipper, you're constantly juggling, should I be paying attention to my boat speed? Should I be paying attention to where I am in relationship to the other boat? Or should I be paying attention to what's happening with the course and the wind? And the Italians didn't make a mistake.
As we know, the Italian team swept American Magic. And now with the Italian team with four wins already, first to seven goes on. You know, I was kind of embarrassed that Americans couldn't even get one win. But now, as you said, the way they're crushing the UK team, I think there has to be fear in the English-speaking world because they're just they're in a different class, even though these boats, as you said, look very, very, very similar. So how is it that these Italians cannot lose a race?
Well, it comes down to, and this is always the challenge, and this is sort of like Formula One too. Are you trying to maximize the boat you have, or are you trying to get more out of the boat? It's like a Formula One. You know, do you go for that extra wing and change the dynamics, or do you just try and maximize your driver for that car as it is? And the Americans obviously had a crash and almost sunk their boat. So they had 2 weeks where their boat was basically in the shed. They couldn't get time on the water with their boat. The British, because they didn't have to race against somebody because they won the previous circuit so easily, they actually went straight through to the finals and let the Italians and the Americans fight it out. They actually worked on their boat as well. The boat that has spent the most competitive time on the water actually sailing the boat is the Italians. And I think that has actually been their big advantage, is they've got the most time on water of the remaining boats. And I think that at the end of the day, that's why they're reading things better. That's why they're picking up which side of the course to be on faster. I think they've just had more time on the water, in their boat, to understand how to maximize its potential.
It's Tuesday. It's our weekly look at SailSportTalk.com's coverage of the America's Cup. Christopher Kane is with us. Rick Tittle with you. A couple more questions for Christopher. I saw that the pre-start area in the fourth race over the weekend, that both boats hit 46 knots. And that one really dropped my jaw, because I think about how hard it is to get to 46 knots when you have a motor. What is the record? Because I cannot believe anything blown by the wind can get up to 46 knots.
Well, the record is both a good thing and a bad thing. The record was set by the Americans right before they crashed, and it was 51 knots, which is, for those, that's over 55 miles an hour in a boat, which is just insane. And, yeah, you see those entry speeds. It was fun, too. You mentioned the pre-start. The first couple races, the winds were pretty light, and the boats were, frankly, more concerned with staying on the foils than they were kind of getting at each other. But the second day of races and those pre-starts, you saw them get in each other's faces and start doing the things we expect from an America's Cup pre-start, which is trying to foul each other, trying to get the other boat to fall off its foils, basically just being as much of a nuisance as humanly possible before the start. And the Italians faked out the British so badly in the second race of the second day that the British almost crashed their boat as well. They came out of the water, and for a second there, everyone had flashes of American magic, but they got it back under control and were off and running. But it's fun now that the winds are going up, and you're seeing, I mean, there's one thing Jimmy Spittle, the one of the two skippers for the Italian boat, is known for. It's his pre-start, and he just doesn't lose pre-starts. And in a race where these boats are this close in terms of performance, winning that start gives you huge leverage to then play your tactics across the course.
Jimmy Spittle, no relation to Rick Tittle, by the way. The terminology, Christopher, help me with this. I read that in the fourth race that Ineos Team UK, right at the beginning, tried a gamble by, it says, gaining an advantage to leeward by getting a hook, but yep, their gamble failed. What does that mean, getting a hook?
So there's a couple basic meta rules about boats and who has a right of way. So when boats are coming at each other from opposite directions, the boat on starboard has the right of way. And when the boats are on the same direction, the boat further away from the wind, which is the leeward boat, has the right of way. So the boat, if you will, underneath the other boat. And the sailing rules are based on, you know, the boat with more wind has more control. So it's up to them to kind of be out of the way. And a hook is where one of the boats will slide underneath the other boat and then come up really fast. And that boat above them has to give way. And that's a hook, where it's kind of like a J maneuver where you push them. And in these boats, the goal is you're trying to knock the other boat off its foils right before it hits the water. But the timing is crucial, because your boat has to be a certain length into the other boat's kind of length before you can actually do anything. You can't just sort of barely have your bow barely, you know, touching where the plane is or the back of the boat. You need to be kind of in there in order to have the right of way. And they didn't quite time it right, and it's called an overlap. They didn't get the overlap, which then gives them the right of way, and they can push the other boat around. So they timed that really poorly. And that's the hook. And that's a pretty common pre-start tactic, is to get underneath the other boat and then try and push them up and knock them off their foils.
Yeah. Last question for you. The comms, which everybody can hear, that the Italian captain Bruni and Spithill, that they both said in that race they were trying to get to the starboard side. And as you said, classic match racing tactics, trying to keep the other one off. But this is another one I need help with. It said that the final leg occurred. Ineos jibbed away and Luna Rossa didn't follow. So what was that little feint about?
Yeah, so jibing and tacking.
Jibing.
Yeah, sorry, jibing and tacking is turning upwind or downwind. We'll just say turning to make it easy. Okay. So when you're the boat behind, obviously following the other boat around is not going to help you. So what you want to do is you want to do a split. You want to go in the opposite direction of the other boat. And what you're gambling is you go into stronger wind or a different wind direction if you get further enough away, and that'll get you back into the race. So when you jibe quickly after turning, what you're trying to do is quickly get away from the boat in front of you so they can't cover you and kind of be sitting on your wind. So what they were doing is they jibed quickly because they were trying to get away from the Italians, and gambling that by sailing away from them, they could find a different patch of wind that the Italians weren't in.
So we'll leave you at this. Is there any fear now that the timing on the America's Cup might get pushed back over what we have with this new lockdown?
Oh, I think it's almost guaranteed. I mean, the New Zealand has been very tough and rigorous in staying on top of COVID and shutting things down. I think this absolutely will push it out. But the America's Cup always builds in extra days into their schedule because they have to build in a little buffer for days when there's not enough wind to go sailing. So there's already extra days built into the schedule. So for now, I think they're still within what they consider the dates for the America's Cup.
That's Christopher Kane. No jive, just jibing. He knows
jibing,
what's
baby.
Up when it comes to sailing. Christopher, thanks for your time and your updates, and hopefully we'll get these races in, and we'll talk to you next time, buddy.
Sounds good, Rick. Appreciate it.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle, and we'll take a quick break, and we'll come on back on Sports Byline.